are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, the most captivating stories have a clear hero and a villain, right? Someone fighting for good and the other fighting for evil. Is this the same idea captured in the fundamental belief of the great controversy? We're going to be going deeper than the surface level here in the next coming couple of days, and we uncover what the controversy is all about. And guiding us in it is going to be our pastor, Mfundisi Enslin Baxen, who joins us now on the line this afternoon. Good afternoon, sir, and welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Good afternoon, Derek, and thank you very much. And welcome to the listeners as well.
Thank you so much, and we appreciate your time this afternoon, and we're hoping that we find you well.
Yes, by God's grace, I am well, thank you.
Amen and amen. Let's jump straight then into the discussion that we're going to be having this week, trying to introduce this great theme, the great controversy. What controversy is it, and what exactly makes it great, right? How did it begin?
Yes, and I think when you look at it in the world, the universe, there was harmony. Mm-hmm. For eternity past.
Okay.
And then in heaven, one of the angels became discontented with the way that God was doing things, and thought that he mm-hmm. should have a bit more input. Okay. And that was Lucifer. He was the anointed cherubim mm-hmm. in heaven, and so he wanted to be have the authority of God, mm-hmm. And he wanted to have authority over the angels, and from it went to a controversy. Mm-hmm. And Revelation chapter 12 speaks about that Lucifer started a war in heaven. Mm. He had gained a third of the angels around him to join his side.
Okay.
And it says that he, you know, in Revelation 12, it speaks about he used his tail, and that basically speaks to deception. So he deceived them, he lied to them, and that gained their sympathy, and so they joined on his side in rebellion against God, and so it's this rebellion that led to the great controversy between good and evil. They rejected God's rule and wanted to be self-ruled. And this was at the heart of it. You know, the Bible in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, it speaks about this angel who became proud of his own beauty and his own wisdom, and so he wanted to be like God. He was like God, you know, in character, but he wanted to be like God in power and authority, and so that became a problem.
I hear you, Mfundisi, and thank you so much for laying the base as to what the story is all about and where it's starting. But as you make the case there, I'm thinking, and perhaps one of our listeners is also thinking here, to say, you know, you and I both are grown up, I would think, and we're no longer staying with our parents, or at some point, one or the other, we moved out. And part of the reason, yes, fair and fine, it's because we might wanting to get some freedom, or we want to get some, we're moving closer to work or school or whatever the case might be. But one of the key reasons is the things that are being done in our parents' house, or at least the way they're doing it, is not so much how I want it done anymore. So instead of fighting, you know, put the socks here. No, I want them here. No, leave the dishes like this. No, I will do it tomorrow. Instead of having those arguments on a daily basis, you just feel, you know what? Maybe let me leave. In fact, some parents will be as bold as to say that, right? Hey, if you don't want to do it my way, get your own place. It's the natural progression, I would think. I don't think there's any disorder in that. If that was the case in the beginning, why have a fight for it? If he was feeling like he wants to self-govern, that is Lucifer, I mean, why does it have to end up as a fight? Why didn't God just say, no, for sure, I think you're of age now. I mean, Lot and Abraham figured it out right in the beginning. Hey, okay, I see. Let's not fight. You go this way, I go that way. Why didn't God just say, okay, Lucifer, you can take your friends if you want to take them and maybe go govern there? Why have a fight?
And, you know, it's because God knew what it was all about, what the consequences were. Mm-hmm. You know, if our children just had a thing of, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that,
yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, it's a matter of a little consequence, but it becomes greater consequence,
mm-hmm,
when the children say, okay, you know, I'd like to drink this poison, because then it becomes a matter of life and death.
True.
And so God knew that the direction that Lucifer and his angels were going in would result in eternal death. And so it was because of love that he said, no, that is not the way to go.
Yeah.
And he appealed to them, you know, to follow his government, his law, because he knew that not doing that would ultimately end in pain, suffering, and death. Which is exactly what we see today, so they did not take God's word for it,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now we're seeing it play out even in our world here
on earth. Yeah, and I think that's a very key one, and I want us to address that just now as well, to say how then, you know, it's such a mystery in the heaven of heavens, right, in a perfect environment, that's where you find sin starting. One would kind of understand if it starts here on earth. I mean, it's far removed from God's home, quote unquote, therefore it can be understood. But before I just come to that, just wrapping up the point you just laid out, and as you were speaking there, I was drawn to this passage you spoke of earlier, Isaiah, right, in chapter 14, verse 13, one of the claims that Lucifer makes is, I want to sit in this Mount of God in the sides of the north, right? He wanted to, and I think, like you were pointing out, Mfundisi, it's one thing to say, I also want to do things my way. And I think parents can kind of tolerate that. But if you say, I want to become my parent, that's a bit of a different one.
Yes.
You know, no, father, you come off that chair. I want to sit on it. That's a bit of a different one. And I think that, like you're saying, becomes a bit of a challenge, which cannot be tolerated, I would say. Mfundisi, you spoke about how this started in heaven, and you hinted now to say, unfortunately, earth is now being found involved in it. How did it come to be here on earth? I mean, like the young ones would say, why is our name in it? You know, maybe talk to us a bit about how this controversy shifted and transferred.
Yes, and I mean, you know, that story is found in Genesis chapter 3.
Okay.
And you find that God had warned Adam and Eve and said, this is what happened in heaven. And so at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there's a test. Do not eat the fruit from this tree, though.
Okay.
You know, avoid this tree.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that tree, the knowledge of good and evil, that was the only access point that Lucifer had to Adam and Eve. So God in his mercy just isolated him to that point. And you know, it goes to a fundamental principle of God. You know, God is love.
Yes.
And if there's love, there's freedom of choice. And so what God did was, God just gave Adam and Eve the freedom to choose. And if they had chosen God, then Satan would have nothing to do with this world. Because God would be in charge here, and Adam would still be alive today and still be the head of the human race. Because of the freedom of choice, God said, to Lucifer, this is the only place that you can tempt him. And he made full use of that advantage.
That's the challenge, Pastor Baxton. Sorry to come in there. And I love the example you gave, God equating him to a loving parent. I'm quite sure, Mfundisi, when you know that there's a challenging human being, a thief, a robber, a mugger, a murderer, a rapist, whatever it is, who is in the neighborhood, you seldom would say, no, come in, have a sleep in my house next to my daughter's bedroom. I don't think that's the approach you would take, because one would think, if the fight is between God and Satan, why are humans being put? I mean, are we collateral damage? Is he making an experiment with us? I mean, that doesn't really sound like a loving God, though. You know, why are we being put in? Why is that? Is it not a fair assessment to say God and Lucifer are having a tiff? Why humans are being put in? Is he saying, I mean, especially when you look at it, he kicks him out of his own home and puts him in his children. In fact, it's graduated. He's no longer in the house. You put him in the children's bedroom. How is that? I'm struggling to understand.
Yes. So that's such a wonderful analogy that you use, that we are God's children. Uh-huh. And so because of his extreme love for us, he did everything possible to try and protect us from this. But he wanted, because of the freedom of choice, children would push the boundaries.
Okay.
And not know what the consequences were. And so God wanted Lucifer, because it's a great controversy, Lucifer's argument was against the very character of God. And he made the accusation that, God is just an authoritarian, he's a dictator, and he just wants to force you to do his will. And so you see that God is not a dictator. God wants the service of love.
Okay.
And he gave Adam and Eve every reason not to fall into temptation. He warned them, and he provided all their needs, and he was communing with them. But Lucifer came along and said, I need access, because you can't deny me access. Remember, he had access to the other angels in heaven.
True.
And that's why a third of them followed him. They were also God's children. But everyone had a choice. They needed to make up their own minds. Ultimately, we also give our children a choice so that they live their own lives. Sometimes we are unhappy with their choice, but because we love them and because they are free moral agents, we give them the choice to make. And that is what God did. God is not interested in having robots in the universe that just do what he says without thinking. Because God is a God of love, and that is at the heart of it. Then over and above that, because that is a very good question. Because God, did you kind of abandon this world to Lucifer?
Yeah.
And now we just his sport.
Mm.
God did more than that. God came himself as a human being. He took that risk, and he came to this planet, born, we called him Jesus, and as a human being, he went through all the struggles that we face, and yet he did not succumb once to Satan's suggestions, did not yield once to temptation. He stayed loyal to righteousness and to God. And so because of that, we can have hope of eternity without Lucifer again. So heaven once again is going to be a safe place.
Okay.
And that's where I think we're going to be speaking about that more in further down the series. But God has got a solution. So we're not left without a solution as well.
Amen and amen. Well, thank you, Mfundis. I think we'll have to then leave it there. I love how you've just made it so clear that we couldn't be coddled and God have an impression that we love him, yet it's because we are not exposed to what's out there. And that was Satan's argument as well. We truly appreciate that you've made that clear that no, we had to choose. And that was the option that we were having right there. Mfundis, until we meet again or chat again tomorrow, may God bless you and have yourself a wonderful evening.
Thank you. God bless and the listeners as well.
Thank you, sir. That is Pastor Baxton talking to us this afternoon, this week, in actual fact, right here on the Maranatha Drive, as we're discussing the first fundamental belief in the third doctrine of Seventh-day Adventists, the doctrine of salvation. And it starts with a fight. If you're wondering, what do you need to be saved from? There you have it, right there.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.